Suffice it to say, I'm as nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof.
You're at home, brother.
And I appreciate that. I felt the love when I walked in this room, and that'll calm your nerves better than anything in the world. But I thought about last night. We drove down, and I tell you all what, it didn't stop raining, I don't think, for 6 hours straight on the way down last night. And I'm not going to lie, I thought to myself, midway there, about 10:30 or so, we were coming into DFW, coming through Sherman, and I thought, why exactly would we do this again? And then I remembered why I did this, because I came to worship God with y'all this morning. So pray for me that the Lord would free me of myself, A number one, because I'm the biggest stumbling block that I have, and that he would be worshiped in spirit and truth this morning. I want to start, if I could, in Psalms, a very familiar passage of Scripture. 115th Psalms, in the second verse, he says, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Now, we often hear that's quoted, and we'll talk about God's sovereignty, which it absolutely does. But as a human, sinful human man, my mind sometimes will wander and think in the at the level that I'm at, and think, well, whatsoever would I do? You know, if I won $1 billion, it wouldn't be a million's not that much anymore these days, but let's use a billion for an example. If I won $1 billion, what would I do with it, right? If I had that kind of power, because let's face it, in this world we live in, money's power, right? If I had that kind of power, what would I do with it? Well, you know, I might travel the world. I might do some things like that. I might do good things. I might cure cancer. What if I had the power to cure cancer? Would I do that? Yes, that would be good. I would do that. And those are all neat things. What would I do with that? But I want to look at this morning the holiness of God and distinguish that while God has sovereignty, he's got all the other attributes that go with that sovereignty that sets him apart from anything that we could even imagine being. And then how precious that is to us as mortal beings. If you look in the 10th chapter of Leviticus. I want to go there next. When I think about holy, one of the examples, when you think about what is holy, what exactly is the definition of holy? And I like to define things, and I'm not very good at defining them. But I like trying to understand what something means, and the Bible is not a dictionary. We have to go in and we got to dig out and try to understand what things mean here. It doesn't say holiness is this, just like Webster's does, right? It doesn't explain it like that. We have to go try to look that. But in the 10th chapter of Leviticus, we get a little bit of understanding of what the concept of holiness is. It says, and this is the story of Israel, and we're into where the law service was being given to the children of Israel. And it says, "And Nadab and Abinadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron," so Aaron was the first of the order of priests, "took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." I've been trying to read and tell stories with the kids more. The Bible is not G-rated. It's not. If you get into reading it, it's pretty blunt. And the way we think of things today, that's not the way it was. Here he says, they went in and they offered strange fire before the Lord, not what the Lord had told them, because in the previous chapter it had explained what the Lord had told them to offer there. And they went in and they offered this strange fire, and the Lord didn't say, "All right, next time you go in, I'm telling you." No, the Lord struck them dead on the spot, right there. And then Moses said unto Aaron, "This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh unto me, and before all the people I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. Aaron kept his mouth shut. And Moses called Mishael and Lithon, the sons of, and I'm going to butcher all these names, y'all, Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto him, Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons, Uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And then he goes on down here, and where I want to get to here is in the 10th verse. He says, the Lord spoke unto Aaron, say, Do not drink strong wine, nor strong drink, nor thy sons with thee. When thou go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, it shall be a statute forever throughout all your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean, or unclean and clean. Holiness is a difference. And I want us to think about the world wants to make everything the same. Right? I've worked in many industries around manufacturing, or been around that business a lot. And one of the key things to make manufacturing more efficient is to be consistent, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about the human error factor and artisans and handmade and all that thing, and that's great. But in our world, we want the same thing. We stopped and ate at Chili's last night. You know what? In Atoka, Oklahoma, the Chili's tastes just like the Chili's does in Fort Smith, right? It does. Now, we could have stopped at the little cafe in Tallahena, and I thought, I'm always down to try something different, but I didn't know how it was going to be, but I was pretty sure that the Chili's in Atoka was going to be just like the Chili's I've eaten at all over the country, right? Where it's consistency, it's the same. And that's what the world pushes us to be, is the same as what it is. And so what it does, largely, when it talks to God, is, all right, God's good, God's great, we worship a big God, I hear that. And that's true, it is a big God. But God is so much more than big. And we can say it's a big, but so is Dallas-Fort Worth. I told the kids, I said, we drive out here tomorrow. I said, we're going to drive straight through the middle and go back east. I said, y'all have never been through Dallas-Fort Worth and realize how big it is, right? It just goes on and on and on. I don't know how y'all live out here. But it's huge, right? But y'all are used to it. It's just big. That's the way it is, right? When we think about God, he's not just big. Let's look at every single attribute of God that he is different and holy than us. Our standard of measurement, generally, when we look around the world, is us. So when we look at standards of measurement, we measure everything against a standard, right? Against a standard, right? We measure, if you're looking at water, it has a specific gravity of 1. I'm not going to dive too deep in science, but I'm trying to use this as an example, all right? Water has a specific gravity of 1. Every other liquid is judged against water. So an oil, a hydrocarbon, has a lower specific gravity. Therefore, it means it what? It'll float on top of water, right? It'll float on top of water. And if you've got mercury's going to do what? It's heavier. I don't even know what it is, but it's really heavy. It's going to go to the bottom. It's going to do. Everything is judged against a standard. When we look and think about the standards that we live by, act by, what do we judge those by? I often judge them by those sitting in next to me. But is that the standard we're measuring by? No. The standard is God. The standard is God. And that's what makes God different. Different than us. Holier than us. If we look at the attributes of God as a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And when we think, well, God's omniscient. That means God's everywhere, right? That's good. That's hard. We don't understand that. None of us understand that. We don't understand that premise. We get an idea, and we think when two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst of them, right? But God's not sitting on the pew next to us. He's in our hearts because God is a spirit. When we go to worship God and we call to God to come down in a special way, His omniscience is all around the world, period, to start with. But we ask Him to come here that we could be felt in a special way as we stand and try to what? To worship God. There's another word. Think about that. Worship. Worth-ship. We're declaring the worth of God. We're declaring how great God is. Did we change God's stature? No. We didn't change God's stature, not one iota. Who does that benefit? You and me. When we look and look at the standard by which we are thinking about things and say, I worship a good God, a big God, that's great. No. I worship a God who says that He is all powerful in every single instance of our lives and in the world around us. So when you go over to Isaiah and the song that we commonly sing, I should have said that, Brother Ward, that that was a song, but mine might have been a little distracted there. Not the 10th, 6th. He says, in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And it stood, the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. 3 times holy. Now in the Bible, if I wanted to write something and get your attention, isn't it always annoying? I've occasionally in work or something, people will write an email and they do everything in all caps. How annoying is it to read a paragraph in all caps? Because you're getting mixed signals, right? When I see all caps in something, that means pay attention to this. I'm trying to pay attention to it. So if you make a whole paragraph, then it kind of loses the gist of it, right? But in the Bible, it says, it's like we see, verily, verily. We'll see, verily, verily. It means surely. It means really look at this. It's emphasizing this point. He says, holy, holy, holy. 3 times he says, he emphasizes this point, is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And then, what is our response to that? Because when we look at the standard that we're judged by, inevitably, we look at the standard. Let me say it that way. We look at the standard, then inevitably, as human beings, we're going to look and say, how do I measure up? Right? How do I measure up? And as natural human beings, you go back over and look in the second or third chapter of Genesis, in the fall of man, and I'm going to recoin that term, y'all, that we often refer to it as the fall of Adam. Adam didn't fall. Adam dove. He didn't. If you go over and read it, I'm serious. I mean, we use terms like that. If I stumble off this and fall, that was not intentional, right? Adam looked at the fruit. God had said, don't eat the fruit. The woman says, this is the fruit. The serpent had tempted her with the 3 categories of sin. And she said, it looks good, looks tasty, and it's going to make me pretty smart, right? It's there to make one wise. She was in. Adam looked at it. Adam didn't say, I really didn't know what I was doing. Adam took it and went, he ate it. I always assume it's an apple. Who knows? We don't know what it was. We don't know what it was. But whatever it was, Adam didn't fall into sin accidentally. Adam dove into sin. And when we dove into sin in our federal head, Adam, then we're all in it. If you look at the Bible, the hereditary train of sin doesn't pass through women. It passes through men. You know why that's so consequential? Just by happenstance? When you get to Christ, He had a natural mother, right? But it did not have a natural father. And if you look, when you read all the genealogies to the Bible, and I'm be honest with you, I've read them. For one, I can't pronounce 99% of the names. Two, it gets a little boring reading. But God didn't put it, He put it in the Bible for a reason. And I think largely that is one of the main reasons, is to look and say, sin passed through all the men, and it's generally a male genealogy. But in the New Testament, it gives both Mary's genealogy and Joseph's genealogy. But Mary's genealogy is where it passed down through for his human nature, but his father was God. Isn't that miraculous? And you know what comes along with being God? Comes along. That's the wrong way of saying it. That doesn't give the gist of it. Jesus Christ is God. And all those attributes, all that holiness that I'm talking about here in the Old Testament, that is Jesus Christ in the flesh. If you want to think about something and you'll not get done thinking about it, just think about that. He was born of a woman, born under the law, but he's God. He's not two of them. It's just him. But he's God and man. And I say is. He wasn't was. He is God and man. And when we look and think about those things, what does that do for us? It puts God up there. Not that just God's big. We went several years ago to Mount Rushmore. I'd travel quite a bit for work, and I was going up to see a customer, and they road tripped with me to North Dakota, and on the way, we went and saw Mount Rushmore. And if you've never seen more out the little Mount Rushmore, you ought to go see it. It's neat. I'll probably never go back again, but it was worth seeing once. And what you get up there, and it's really big. It's really cool, right? And you stand on a thing, they got a spot out there, and you look, and it's maybe, I don't know, a quarter mile up there to the top of the mountain. And we walked up, and we did this, and we said, that's neat. And then we took some pictures, and I was ready to go. I'd seen Mount Rushmore. It was neat. And then we thought, well, let's take the little tour where you can walk down here and then read all the placards that tell why and how they made Mount Rushmore. I got a lot more interested in Mount Rushmore after I started reading all these things. We can say God's big, God's great, God's wonderful, and those are 100% true. But when we dive in and think about how great thou art, how great God is, that brings it a lot closer to home, doesn't it? That brings it a lot closer to me. It brings it personal to me. When we think about that he's in the heavens and he had done whatsoever he had pleased, but that's not just a general statement to say God's great, God created the world. God also has that same power intensity when he looks at me as a child of God. When he looks at me and when I look at him, I'm not looking at a friend, a pal that's got my back. I've heard that said. God's got my back. No, God's all around me. A human has your back. God has everything. When we think about the power of God that's toward us, not only in our eternal salvation, that's the end, but that's present now, right now. Statistically, coming from where we left last night to get to the hotel, it was fairly a good statistic that we could have gotten a car accident. I mean, it poured raining all the way down here. And I don't see as well as I used to, although they tell me I've still got 20/20 vision. But at night, I rain doesn't really bother me, but vision does, especially when you got trucks going like this and I'm hanging on for dear life, you know. And on all my passengers are doing a great job of, you know, looking at the back of their eyelids, helping me out, keeping everything away. So there we go, like that. And I thought about that while I was driving. And I prayed and I said, Lord, get us there safely. Get us there safely. And you know what? Only God had the power to ensure that we arrived safely. All y'all had the best intentions. I'm sure y'all said some prayers for us to get here safely last night. But there's nothing you could have done about it. We're mere mortals. But God has the power. Not had, not will have, has. like this. There is none like Him. When we come to worship God, we got to look up at heaven. We got to look up at heaven, and we got to think about how great God is. In every single attribute of God. Because we look at all those powerful attributes and we think, God can do all this, but He's also merciful. He's also long-suffering. He's also loving. We wouldn't be here if it was the other way around. And not a single one of us. If God, He's also just, but He's loving. When He told Adam, He said, "Day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." He wasn't lying. He did. He died in trespasses and sin right there. And then He naturally died later on. Right. You know, that's what happened. And He died. But He would have been absolutely a just God to have ended the human race right there. He would have. And that would have been the end of it. And God would have still been God. But that's not what He chose to do. But what have I done that? If I'd have made the rule and said, "Brother Ward eats the apple sitting on the table. I've got the power. If he does it, this is what I said." Would I have done responded that same way? I doubt it. I'm going to say no. And by the way, anybody that thinks that if I'd have been in Adam's shoes, I wouldn't have done the same thing. Quit lying to yourself. We'd all done the same thing. We'd have dove in. We were tempted the same way. We'd all done it. You know, maybe we'd have resisted at one time, but you think the devil was gonna say, "Well, they got me." You think he was gonna work out like that? Does the devil operate that way today? He resisted me today. I better move on. You know, he's a roaring lion. He goes about seeking whom they may devour. Y'all have all seen animals. I've got roaring cats at the house. They come back time after time. You know, he's that way. But God is there time after time, every time, protecting His children every single day, and eternally He's going to protect us. He's got our home in heaven awaited. He has conquered death. But here in time, we've got such a huge, holy, wonderful God. And we need to think about that. I hope that's been of some benefit this morning.
Amen, brother. Grace is